ahead and be turning to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. It is good to see this good number crowd this morning. We've had many out sick, just like everywhere else across the land, been sick with different things. But we're glad that we've got such a good number this morning, not just for the number's sake, but that we could all come together and worship the Lord. Appreciate the good Sunday school lesson this morning as well. Acts chapter 13, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. There's a lot said in these verses of Scripture here. First of all, it mentions men that were called to a work that God had for them. You know, we're all called to a work in God's church. We're called to a vocation. The Lord teaches us that we're to walk worthy of the vocation in which we're called. You know, a man could walk in such a way he would no longer be worthy to honor God with his calling. You know, he says in a great house, they are both vessels of honor and dishonor. You think about a vessel that one would use and a vessel one would not use. Cover and say, you know, I'm not going to use that anymore. It's too damaged. So you use the one that can get the job done. But Antioch Church, well, that was a local church. It was one that it grew almost like the church at Jerusalem. It would seem like, you know, Jerusalem there, the church was empowered, not established, but the church was empowered on the day of Pentecost. And that was the church at Jerusalem. There was a church established in Antioch, and that church began to grow and prosper. And they were first called Christians at Antioch. That's where we have the name today, Christian. It wasn't something they come up with. They felt like it was a catchy title. It was because people saw them and said they looked like Christ. Many knew what Jesus looked like. There's multitudes followed Christ. So they knew what he looked like. They knew how he presented himself. And when they saw these people, they said, they are Christian. They are Christ-like. So whenever you think of yourself being Christian, you need to understand that means we are to be Christ-like. And the more we study, the more we can know what Christ is and was, what he looked like and what he acted like, the more we can become like that. But this church, just like the church at Jerusalem, they were, and not just those two, but let me go ahead and say this, every ordained and biblically established church was and has been charged with the Great Commission. That's something we can never forget. When we forget that, it won't be long. You leave your first love, a church leaves its first love, and God said, "I will remove the candlestick." So a church can cease to exist. God can remove the candlestick, and Brother Darrell, whether they meet or not, that's beside the point. If God's not there, it's not a church. If God's Spirit is not there, the Holy Spirit has to be with the church in order for that church to be a church. It can cease to be one. Now, it can still have a sign that says such and such church, but if the Lord has removed the candlestick, then it's no longer God's church. But each and every church that has been established by God, and there's a lot of false things that has been established as well. Satan has his synagogues. Satan has his ministers. The Bible's very clear about that. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you I'm wise enough to point those out. There's a lot of churches that may be in error, but still be God's churches. And I say, well, they're not a true church. We not that. I'm not going to stand here and try to be that bold. You know, God knows. God's the one in charge of the candlestick. But If a church is God ordained and biblically established, then the Great Commission, that task, rests upon us. We are the ones in charge of the truth. We are the pillar and ground for the truth. And we're to live that out in our daily lives. When people see us, they're to see a form of Christ. They're to see Christ in us as Christians. And so this church was charged, and I want to deal with Antioch just a minute, because, as God would charge these early churches with the Great Commission, you know, there's churches down through the years that have suffered more than others. You know, we talk about the persecution we face, and that's almost laughable compared to what some of the others have faced. When Antioch received the Great Commission to go out into the world and to preach the gospel, to baptize the believers, and then to teach them all things that they had been commanded. So in other words, teach them in Scripture. That come with a disclaimer. And that is, if you do that, you may go to jail. If you do that, you may be killed. If you do that, then you may be beheaded, you may be stoned, you may be sown asunder, you may be thrown to the lions, you may find yourself hiding out in a cave somewhere. So that's what they had to deal with as they had the responsibility of the Great Commission. So, no wonder the Bible said they fasted and they prayed, or they fasted, they ministered unto the Lord. Brother Jake, there was something that they had that was so precious to them, Christ, and they were charged with bringing Christ to the world, but in order to do that, they may be killed. And so you can imagine the type of burden that would be. You know, when I think of taking the gospel out into the community or out into the world, I don't really look for somebody to tie me up and cast me in prison or throw me to the lions. But that's what they were facing. So no wonder they fasted and they were ministering to the Lord as a congregation, coming together with a burden. And because if we're going to take the gospel to the world, it's important that God opens the door. If the door's not open, we're just spinning our wheels. So as they do that, God opens a door. He said, you separate Paul and Barnabas to the work I've called them to do. Don't sound like much. Send two men. Two men out on the mission field. You do that, and you have cleansed your hands of the responsibility. Now, certainly they had their own things to do in the community, and they did that. As they were persecuted and as they fled, they were telling others about Christ. But in the whole, separate these two men, and you think about all the mission work that Paul and Barnabas did. They didn't have cars. They couldn't jump on a plane. They were being persecuted everywhere they went. And yet churches were being established here, there, and over there. And even in Caesar's household, people got saved because two men were doing what the Holy Spirit led. So the church grew during that time, probably more than any other time, during extreme danger, extreme persecution, the church was growing. You know, you look at the world today and say, well, Brother Brad, it seems like that they hate Christians now. That may give us a golden opportunity. It may motivate us. And certainly, you know, if God is leading the way, God can open doors that we can't even imagine. So all that being said, the Bible says the Holy Ghost said. And don't take that word Holy Ghost and let that frighten you or say, well, that belongs to some other religion. That belongs to us as Baptists. The Holy Ghost said. Just simply the Holy Spirit, if we're more comfortable saying it that way, the Holy Spirit. Look, the Bible says Holy Ghost. That's fine with me. The Holy Ghost said, well, what did that sound like? What did it sound like when the Holy Ghost said to a church, separate Paul and Barnabas? You see, well, let me just dabble a little bit here in the affairs of the week. The vice president was persecuted because he said he likes to hear from God. Can you imagine that? Persecuted. I mean, just drug through the mud and people making all kind of very harsh comments. And his faith in God was compared to mental illness because he said he believed in hearing from the Lord. He didn't say how. He didn't say, I'm sitting there and God is speaking audibly down to me. He just said, I hear from the Lord. I like to hear from the Lord. Me and my wife like to have prayer together, maybe take the good book out and read it and hear from the Lord. And that was mocked and compared to mental illness this morning. So I want us to address that question. What does that sound like when we hear from the Lord? What is that? If the Holy Ghost said something, what did it sound like? We know that Elijah heard from the Lord, and Bible said he heard in a still, small voice. With all these other chaotic things going on around him, earthquake and a wind and fire, you know, the forest fires and all that, and God's not in any of that, but he was in a still, small voice. Well, it's important we understand what that is. What is that still, small voice? The Holy Ghost says... Holy Ghost says something to me all the time. That makes me crazy. Well, that's just what you can believe. But the Holy Ghost says something to me all the time. Oh, it's not audible. But it's not make-believe either. You know, I was safe as a child. And what I mean, I was not lost. And that if I died, I would go to hell. I was safe as a child because I had not been charged with sin. So I could run around and play and, you know, mama get on to me and I might lie and try to cover some things up. I didn't understand I was a sinner. And God had not charged me with being a sinner at that point. And I'm talking about at a very young age. I was not charged with sin. But there come a place where I was lost. Well, how did I know that? Somebody didn't come up to me and say, hey, you know, son, that you're lost. If they did say that, they would be out of place. It's not their job. The Holy Ghost said, you're lost. But the Holy Ghost convicted my heart. Well, what did that sound like? Well, I'm going to try to the best of my ability, explain that. I was safe, and then I was lost. God put that upon my heart by His Holy Spirit. He convicted me, and what did it sound like? What did He say? Well, I can't go back and put my finger on some exact words that were said. All I know is that by the Word of God, my heart was pricked, and my eyes were open, and I saw myself as a lost sinner. So, Lord, let me know through His Word. I was lost. This is the living Word. That's why there's so much, there's such a great attempt to do away with the Holy Word, to discredit it, to belittle it, to make fun of it, to rewrite it to where it sounds more politically correct. All these, this great attempt, because this is the living Word, and God no doubt speaks to our heart by His Holy Spirit, and is confirmed through this, through His Word. So I trusted what God's Word said, what had been preached to me, what I'd heard, what I had found in Scripture, and I chose to believe what this Word said. And I was saved. Who told me that? I can't go back and put... I could not go back and quote the exact words I said to God
And I can't go back and tell you exactly what he said to me. All I know is I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Because he convinced me in my heart that I'm saved. And his word confirms that. And I believe his word with all of my heart. All right, come a time where, and I'm using examples of myself because this is something that I know. I can't use your examples. You could probably stand and give examples yourself. I prayed for a wife. I never heard the words, this is your wife. But God brought her into my life. I had been praying for it. He sent her that way. I was attracted to her. And, we began to date a little bit and enjoy one another's company. But, I wanted to be sure, so I began to ask God, is she the one? And he settled my heart. In my heart, I just knew. And by faith, I trusted in him. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't run from it. You say, Brother Brad, you're not making sense. Well, you get up here and try to explain love and try to explain these things. I'm standing here to tell you, God just let me know through his Holy Spirit and to try to get away from it. There's misery in that. But to accept it, there's peace there. I know we talked about a little bit of that in Sunday school this morning. And I'm not trying to say we need to go on feelings, but there was some peace in accepting the path that God placed in front of me. There was no peace in the other direction. And God's word settled me. And you're not going to find her name in Scripture, but you're going to find some directions, some things to look for. God called me to preach. I never heard the words, you are called to preach. Never heard that. But he disturbed my heart. And it was effective, Brother Matt, just as effective if he had been sitting on a bench looking in my eyes and say, son, I have called you to preach. It was just that effective, and yet I never heard those exact words. He just disturbed my heart. He disturbed my heart, and he caused me to consider the fact that he had called me to preach. And I began to try to work those things out and to make sense of it all. And, I want to argue with him, Brother Ryan. There's no way somebody like me could preach. That's not me. I never had those plans. I'm not geared that way. All kind of excuses. And he put to silence every one of them. And what it come down to was this, faith. Am I going to accept that God is calling me or not? If you're dealing with the same thing, I want you to know it's going to come down to whether you're just going to accept it or not. I tried for 3 years to run from it. And I would ask, I would go to this preacher and that preacher, and I wanted that preacher to tell me, word for word, yes, you've been called. I can tell you. There wasn't a preacher out there would tell me that. I'm glad. I had one say, well, if you can run from it, do it. I didn't understand that at the time, but he was saying, well, if you can get away from it, then, he wasn't able to get away from it. I wasn't either. I couldn't find any peace anywhere else. But the moment I surrendered, I had peace. Just like whenever I got saved. The moment I surrendered and trusted Christ, I had peace. God speaks to his children, if we will listen, by faith. That's not make-believe. That's not guessing. Somebody said, well, all you're doing is just guessing and hoping. No, that's not guessing. I'll tell you what, Brother Richard, if it had been guessing, I'd have guessed different than preaching. That was the leadership of the Lord. It's not mental illness. It's the Holy Spirit leading. Okay? So let me ask you this. What good is a preacher that does not hear from God anyway? Why go to church? If we can't hear from God, why go? If this morning, if you came and you feel like, well, I'm going to go hear Brother Brad tell us something good, you come for the wrong reason. Brother Brad don't know anything good. You can go hear a lot of people tell you something better than what I can. But this morning, I didn't come with what Brother Brad wants to tell you. It'd been easier to preach something else this morning. I come to tell you what thus saith the Lord, what His Word says, and what He's prepared upon my heart. Now, I can tell you that, Brother Alton. I don't want anybody to leave here and believe that because Brother Brad said it. Because again, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I can't convict the heart, and I'm more than capable of making mistakes. So when you hear what I say, try the spirits. See if they're God or not. How'd I do that? Well, God gave you this just like He gave it to me. He didn't give it to me for me to sit down and explain it to you and you don't ever open it. The Berean church, they heard what Paul said gladly, but they searched the word daily to see if it was so or not. Boy, that's grown up right there. That's mature when we get to a point where we live like that. So, what good is a man's counsel if he cannot be settled by the Holy Spirit of God? I tell you this, Brother Mike, I have prayed for the authorities. I've prayed for the president. I have prayed for those in authority. And you say, well, there's a lot of times when they make a lot of foolish errors. Maybe so. And God knows all of that too. But I have prayed for them. And it does my heart good to hear a man say that I am praying and I'm asking for God to lead me and to say, you know what, that I feel like He's leading me this way. So, well, he could make a mistake. Yes, he can. And I can confirm that by the Scripture. If he has, then just take that and push it aside. Call it. Hearing from the Holy Spirit is not simply a feeling, though. I don't want to leave you with that idea. It's not, just a warm, fuzzy tingle. It's not a bright, shining light. It's not simply making up our mind to do something. We are to try the spirits and see if they're of God or not. For as 1 John in chapter 4 tells us that we need the absolute truth in order to do that. So we're living in a world where this world is trying desperately to say this is not the absolute truth. What happens if they convince somebody that this is not the absolute truth? What happens if they convince you of that? This is not the absolute truth. There's errors in it. You know what? All of a sudden we have nothing to stand on. And we have no leadership. And it's everybody, let's guess and see and hope. And let's just wander around blind. Don't that make sense? Because the world prefers darkness rather than light. Because of the dream. If we want the light, then we need to listen to God's Holy Spirit, and we need to confirm it by the Word of God. We need the absolute truth. The Holy Spirit will always say, and you underline that as I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit will always say the exact same thing that we can confirm by His Word. He's not holding men for ransom, waiting for you to come up with $1 million to build a new building somewhere. I've heard, the Holy Spirit said that God has taken me for ransom and He's going to take my life unless y'all come up with $1 million so we can build a new building. That's not the Holy Spirit. Might be a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because I can confirm that by God's Word. The Holy Spirit is not saying, giving men prophecies. Because that will be in direct conflict with the last chapter of our Bible. We can't add to or take away from the prophecies of this book. So that takes certain religion right there, and we throw it out the window. Because you can't add to this book or take away from it. And there's some that do. He's not leading in that way. He's not hiding new books under rocks somewhere for us to find. He's not calling women to preach. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe it is. It's very, very plain about that. Keep silent in women, or keep silent in the churches. So I don't like it that way. Well, when I look at it from my point of view, you know, I look at women and the effect they've had in churches. They could do a lot better job probably than I could or men could in many cases. That's not up for me, up to me to decide. That's up to the Word of God. He gave us His complete and perfect Word, and if you listen, He will guide you every day. And if He moves your heart, this Word will confirm it, even specifically. You see, I can stand here and tell you today, Brother Freddie, I know that God called me to preach at this church. I know that. So, Brother Brad, that's not written anywhere in Scripture. It's not. You're not going to find clear branch there. But He said to get self out of the way. And whenever I was called back to Clear Branch, I got self out of the way. Because there's a lot of things I can say, this is what I want. And I wouldn't have to explain to y'all what I want. I had to get that out of the way because it's easy to make a decision based on what I want. Get that completely out of the way. And don't look at the money side, the lucre side. The Bible's plain about that. A man, you know, looking at the money side of it, he's in trouble already with God. So get that out of the way. And don't look at the number side of it. Bible's plain about that. Philip, he took Philip away from revival to send him to Gaza to preach to one man. So if that's where God wants me, that's where I need to be. Preach to one person. If that one person gets saved, I'll tell you what, I've done my job. And God's Holy Spirit has done His job through me. So I listened and He gave me peace to serve as pastor here. I'm not just standing here today to try to say this is, you know, God is. I'm certainly not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm throwing out some examples for you to think about because it's not a committee and it's not a convention that ought to be placing anybody anywhere. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you this in closing this morning. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the Lord? Does the Lord lead you? Does He lead your family? You know, whenever I preach weddings, I try to make a point to say that we are to build our home around this. In order to do that, we have to listen. After we have to listen what God says. Whenever we have troubles, maybe. And if you have a family, you've had troubles. You don't have to have a family. You can be right by yourself and still have troubles. But we can resolve that by His Word and allow Him to give us peace. And as He speaks to us, just be obedient to it. I'll leave you with this. Mary goes in and tells Jesus, we're out of wine. This party is going to be ruined. And He said, you know, really, what do you want me to do? And she just looked at the servant. She said, whatever He says, just do it. And they did what He said, and He blessed. Whenever we do what He says, that's when God will bless. Last verse on.